Sportsnet 960 NFL Insider Jason Lockenfora. Brought to you by McLeod Trail Midas. Skip the dealer and get your car winter ready during their customer appreciation event. On now. See the specials on Facebook and book your appointment today at McLeodTrailMidas.com.
Okay. Jay, as always, appreciate the time. Let's dive into what we saw last night. And I guess the biggest story out of that game, Carolina goes to 3-0, but it comes at a cost. Christian McCaffrey looks like he's going to be out a few weeks here with a hamstring issue.
Yeah, could be a little more than just a couple weeks. But it didn't look good when it happened. And he's obviously one of the more dynamic game changers in this league. And you saw the sort of precipitous drop off and that offensive attack for a pretty good period of time. And then it seemed like they kind of got their bearings straight and did what they had to do late to beat an inferior team. But it's just unfortunate. We haven't seen much of Run CMC on the field the last couple of years. And they've obviously got to be super careful with that situation, because that's a team that looks like it has some playoff potential. The defense is legit. Losing J.C. Horn is tough as well. But I really like their front seven an awful lot. I think the offensive line is okay. They've got to continue to run the ball here, obviously, even without McCaffrey. And they've got a couple of receivers who can get it done, although Robbie Anderson's had a bit of a slow start, but can be a deep threat. So that's an interesting team to me, and now they get, 9 days to sit back and see how healthy they can get before they play again.
Kind of two parts out of that. First off, Jay, obviously a fresh start and out of the New York market, it's been a good thing for Sam Darnold. What have you seen there? And the second part of that is you mentioned running the football. A guy very familiar to our neck of the woods, just 2 hours north on the highway, is Chuba Hubbard of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. He's now looking like he's going to be the guy for this Panther team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll still use multiplicity in their run attack, but certainly his role will expand and he'll be given a chance to show what he can do. As for Sam Darnold, look, his life just got a lot more complicated when he can't, just toss it to McCaffrey in any situation and have it turn into a potentially win, not just a plus play, but an explosive play. So, I think that Dan Arnold's going to continue to emerge for them. He's clearly the tight end that they favor. They've got to get Robbie Anderson going a little bit more. DJ Moore is a difference maker. Yeah, they're a sound operation. And I think most importantly for Sam Darnold is he's in good hands with Joe Brady, the play caller. He's being dealt with in a manner and being put in a position to succeed, unlike he was with the Jets from a personnel or schematic standpoint. And he's got he's got a defense that, could pitch close to a shutout most weeks. I mean, when you're playing the best teams in the league, different story, but that defense is going to put him in a situation where 17 to 24 points is probably going to be enough most weeks. And some weeks you might only need 10.
Let's shift gears and look ahead. I'm not going to ask you about the Houston Texans because there's not a lot there, and they have looked even worse without Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, as we saw it last night in that 24-9 loss as they dropped to 1-2 on the season. Let's begin in your neck of the woods, Jay, as the list gets bigger on the COVID reserve list for the Baltimore Ravens. They've also got a ton of injuries. How do you view their Week 3 matchup in Detroit?
Well, I still think they win this game, and I still think they'll be able to run the ball somewhat at will against this team. But the margins got a little slimmer here for sure, and they're compromised now at outside linebacker and defensive tackle, which were areas, especially outside linebacker, where they've been struggling to generate a pass rush even with a lot of these guys. So they put 4 players on the COVID-restricted list today who won't be available for the game, including Justin Houston, who was looked like their best outside pass rusher to this point, outside of Odafe Aue, who their first round pick, who's playing great football. But you've got no Justin Houston, you've got no Brandon Williams, you've got Derek Wolfe, who they re-signed to solidify their D tackle spot. He hasn't practiced in over a month. He won't play in this game. And Brandon Williams, their big run stuffer, their nose tackle, he's on the COVID restricted list. So the, you know, next man up, they have some dudes who can step in, Justin Ellison, Project Washington, and try to fill those shoes. But what it's going to do is keep Calais Campbell on the field more than these guys would ideally like. And it's going to give the Lions, I think, a chance to run the ball inside a little more than they might normally have, or they're going to have to at least check that out and see what this reconstituted line looks like. And Justin Houston, someone who I thought could have a big game against the Lions, right tackle Nelson, who's looked a little overwhelmed so far and has clearly been the weak spot in a pretty good offensive line. So the margins get a little slimmer. I'll be interested to see if Wink Martindale blitzes and gets crazy as much as I thought he would have prior to this COVID situation emerging. But I still think they win this game, and I think the Lions are going to have their hands full with the way the Ravens run the ball.
Jason Lacken for us, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com is our NFL insider. He joins us every single Friday here on The Big Show. Indianapolis at 0-2. I don't know if that's the start many had predicted, and now all of a sudden Carson Wentz is questionable at best for this contest on the road in Nashville against the Titans. What do you see in that AFC South showdown?
Well, I think he's going to have difficulty playing this game based on everything I've heard. I'm not going to say there's no chance he plays, but I'd be surprised if he does. And this could be an injury that certainly lingers. Colts are in a tough situation here. Tennessee, that's been a tough match for them. And they're on the road, and they're already 0-2. And then I think they've got the Browns coming up. They've got a Monday night game at Baltimore. This is not an easy road. And that offensive line has not been quite what we expected it to be. They're banged up there. They haven't run the ball like we thought they would. You know, if Hundley starts this game, that's a problem. He's never looked the part of an NFL quarterback, in my estimation. And defensively, people are getting deep and beating them for explosive plays, despite them playing a fairly vanilla Tampa 2 defense that's supposed to take that stuff away. And we know what Ryan Tannehill's capable of in play action and what the big play Titans offense has looked like. They might be catching the wrong team at the wrong time. I think the Colts are in a little bit of a tough spot here, and it's not hard to paint a picture of their, you know, them sitting there 1-5 or something like that and really being in trouble.
I think Chicago Bear fans, if they had it their way, Justin Fields would have been their week one starter. It happens in week three because of an injury to Andy Dalton. What did you see from him in limited action in relief of Dalton last week, and how do you view the Bears at 1-1 on the road in Cleveland on Sunday?
Well, it wasn't great, but you got to keep in mind how they've been handling this situation. This kid hasn't been getting the bulk of the reps. It's been all about Andy Dalton all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he's been getting in where he fits in. So he didn't have anything close to the kind of preparation you'd like him to have for that game and the way he had to enter it. So I think he'll be a little more settled down. I mean, look, early in games, we try to do too much. Will the adrenaline be rushing? Do you have to worry about an early pick because he's forcing it? I think you do, but I also expect him to settle down as things progress, and I think this coaching staff will come to realize sooner rather than later that he does give them the best chance to succeed, that he does his presence and his ability to run the option game does give them the ability to run the ball in ways that they can't with Andy Dalton, and moving the pocket around and forcing the defense to defend you more horizontally because this kid can glide all the way to the sideline and throw across his body the other way. I just think it's silly they haven't tapped into it yet. And now they're forced to because of the Dalton injury. But look, he's going to take his lumps. That offensive line is not great. And it's tough sledding for rookie quarterbacks. Ask Zach Wilson, ask Trevor Lawrence. I think, though, overall he will play well enough over the next couple weeks to where they don't go back to Andy Dalton, or if they do, the fan revolt might be pretty significant.
How do you view the Saints after, you know, what was a dominating win over, you know, I think for some, a checked out Green Bay team in week one.
Yeah.
And then week two, they get their teeth kicked in by Carolina. How do you view the Saints going into this week three matchup in Foxborough against the Patriots?
I think they're a question mark. I still like them. I picked them to go to the playoffs. I think they have a lot of pieces there. They also suffered some injuries. Davenport, they had a lot of guys go down the week before. They haven't practiced in their own place in, over a month? They've sacrificed at home games to play in Jacksonville. Obviously, Hurricane Ida really did a number on the New Orleans area. I mean, there's a lot that they've been dealing with. So for them to have that emotional high and then come down and lay an egg, I guess, really, in the big picture, shouldn't shock people. I have not been overly impressed with New England. I mean, for the way Wilson turned the ball over last week, that game should have been over at halftime, and it wasn't. And the Jets' defense gave the Patriots fits. And Mac Jones, that's an uber-conservative approach they're taking with him. And there's not a whole lot, really, I think, right now, the eye test to look at with the Patriots and say that they're an elite team. You know, can Jameis Winston complete some balls downfield with them? Can the Saints get Kamara going early and maybe start feeling a little better about themselves and get on a roll? I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, I kind of like the points here if I was going to play this game. But, yeah, I think New Orleans is dealing with a lot of stuff outside of football that can certainly affect you.
Been a crazy first couple of weeks for the Las Vegas Raiders. Now they get a home spot against a Miami Dolphin team without their starting quarterback. How do you like the chances to go to 3-0 for Jon Gruden and the Raiders?
I do like the chances to go 3-0. They've been one of the more impressive teams for me. The defense has more bite. I think they're playing as a team on defense and not as individuals or guys chasing stats or whatever, which I think has been a little bit of the case there in the past. And the offense is top-notch. They haven't even really had Josh Jacobs yet, or not anything close to a healthy Josh Jacobs. So I'm bullish on the Raiders. I think this is a long trip for Miami. I think Miami's already a little bit beat up. You know, Jacoby Brissett can manage a game. Like, he, you know, he'll be okay, but he's a little limited in what he can do. And their offensive line is bad. It is bad. And I'm not buying their two offensive coordinator scheme either. I don't see any imagination out of what Miami does. They have some skill players who can hurt you, but I don't know if they're going to get the ball in their hands enough to go where they want to go. Now, they're certainly a good defensive team. They've got two great corners, and that'll be an interesting matchup. But I do wonder how they cover Waller, because the Raiders kind of have somebody going at each level now. You know, Waller can beat you at all three levels. This kid Renfrow runs around underneath short and intermediate, and he, you know, you chase him around like a chicken with your head cut off, and he works the outside of the field. Waller works the inside of the field. Ruggs, he's not going to catch 10 balls a week, but all he needs is two or three deep ones. He's like Tyler Lockett, and all of a sudden you're in trouble. You got to kind of double him, and then that leaves Edwards open, on, you know, in the slot, and then you've got to double Waller. So this would be a test for the Dolphins linebackers, and I'm not sure they're going to pass it.
Just a few more with Jason Lacken for our NFL Insider every Friday here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The game of the day on Sunday, I think for many, is in the 2:30 window here in Calgary, and that's the LA Rams at home to Tampa Bay. How do you see that one? And I guess one of the biggest injury questions for people is Darrell Henderson, the running back, who, by all accounts, it looks like a pain tolerance thing, a true game time decision. But how do you view Tom Brady against that front seven and Matt Stafford and the Rams against that Tampa Bay defense?
Yeah, would not be surprised in the least if this is a preview of the NFC Championship game. I think I picked that. Not that that matters much. Look, I feel like the Bucs haven't played their best ball yet, but they've had two fairly comfortable, or at least comfortable enough wins. Now, you could also say, well, Dallas and Atlanta can't play defense, and I would agree with you there. I think we haven't seen close to the best out of the Bucs defense yet. And we know that front seven's capable of more, although they're a little bit banged up on the backside. Nobody can stop Cooper Kupp right now, and I suspect he goes off in this game as well. I just feel like Tom Brady is in such a better place than he was at this time a year ago, and he was in so many big spots, you know, for your guy, 225 starts, 605 or 620 starts in the prime time for us, where they lost. What were they, like 0-5 at one point, I think, in those bunch of games last year before the bye week, and they finally turned it on and never lost again. I just think there's a lot of pride involved. I think Gronk is playing his best football in years. You know, they've got so many options and ways to beat you offensively. I just feel like they can find a way to be a point or two better than the Rams in what may turn out to be a little bit of a shootout.
your best bets of this week, which, by the way, 4-1, good start for you when it comes to your bets over at CBSSports.com. You've got the Broncos minus 10.5 at home to the Jets, which I think, as you mentioned earlier in this hit, the way that Zach Wilson and that Jet offense is looking right now, there's no reason to believe Vic Fangio and the Broncos won't have similar success on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Vic Fangio is going to look at a lot of what Bill Belichick did to this kid and be able to duplicate it. And frankly, I think get after him even a little bit more without blitzing than Belichick had to. The Brown defense is legit. This is a tough spot for this young man who struggled at home. This would be a different environment for him. The Jets don't have much of an offensive line right now, and the Jets don't have skill players who can really make you worry or beat you. Defensively, they try hard. They're playing their butts off for Robert Saleh. But I really like what Teddy Bridgewater's doing right now, spreading the ball around. And Denver's a very balanced team. That offensive line's come a long way from where it was, you know, heading into last season. I think they'll be able to beat the Jets on the ground and through the air. And I think they're going to turn that young man over a few times as well. You know, he was kind of seeing ghosts at the end there, and now he's going to see a Vic Fangio defense that I think is going to throw some zone looks at him that are going to confuse him. And I could see that game getting fairly lopsided.
As you mentioned, you'd liked Washington more when it was +9, but Washington football team.
Yeah, that's when I found my column last night.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now you've got +7 in Buffalo, Jay.
Yeah, I found it last night so they could put it up first thing in the morning, and I realized this afternoon, where's my column? And by the time they put it up, it had moved to +7. So I hope you got in on the Washington football team +9. And Buffalo's a good team, and you know, I think they'll be there in the end. But they're not the offensive juggernaut right now that they were a year ago. And Josh Allen is struggling, and he's particularly struggling against dime packages. And Washington can get after you with 3 or 4 and sit back and drop a lot of guys into coverage. I think it's, you know, about time for Chase Young to step up. And I believe this is the week he will against the Bills offensive line that suffered. The two D tackles are playing great for the Washington football team. I worry a little about the interior of the Bills offensive line. The explosive plays for the Bills in the pass game haven't been there. And look, Heinicke is not a traditional quarterback, and I don't think he's their long-term solution. But he gives them a shot in the arm. He runs around and throws the ball to Scary Terry and gets it in Gibson's hands. And I just think Washington can keep this close. The Bills are going through a little bit of a tough time kind of figuring out what's going to work this year. And it's not going to be the magic carpet ride it was last year. They're not going to be having teams blown out at halftime every week. They're going to have to tweak and find different ways to do some things. And I think the Washington defense is pretty darn good.
Jay, great stuff. As always, man, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games on Sunday. We'll talk to you in exactly 1 week. Thank you, man.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Will.
Sportsnet 960 NFL Insider Jason Lockenfora. Brought to you by McLeod Trail Midas. Skip the dealer and get your car winter ready during their customer appreciation event. On now. See the specials on Facebook and book your appointment today at McLeodTrailMidas.com.